I've often been asked here recently if you've done any ortho research trips lately. It has been difficult, nearly impossible, to get away for any period of time for the last 15 months. You can see the reason over there. However, Barb and I continue to work on preliminary research, laying the groundwork for future field visits. So take, for example, the song Wonderful Story of Love. When I recently led this about 3 weeks or so ago, it caused me to remember that I knew very little about the author, and almost nothing had been written in other hymnology studies. So, Bart, I began to research, and I'm not going to tell you all of our secrets, because we got a lot of ways to do that. But here's what we know so far. John Merritt Driver was born February the 10th, 1857, in Jefferson County, Illinois. He attended Illinois Agricultural College and Boston University. His dad, James R. Driver, owned several parcels of land, some of which was granted to him by the government. In fact, we found one such deed grant by President Franklin Pierce. And it's signed on there by Franklin Pierce. It probably is a canned signature, but it's kind of interesting anyway. But his dad had a lot of land and it was worth a considerable amount, I think. The hymn, The Wonderful Story of Love, was first published from Boston in 1885 in the songbook titled Songs of the Soul, where he is credited with writing some 30 or more hymns. Mr. Driver attended the School of Music in Boston. There was a conservatory and music school there in Boston at the time when he published the book. I could buy this book, tattered and torn, if I want to spend $75. But I haven't done that yet. Thinking about it. But it's pretty well worn. It's on Amazon or eBay. I forget where it is. But it's hard to find. I don't have one. I've got 1,800 books in my library, and I don't have this one. But anyway, I still do not know why he wrote the song, Wonderful Story of Love, but I'm beginning to understand the heart of Mr. Driver. His career seemed to have turned from writing music to preaching. Dr. Driver stands easily among the first and the best lecturers of the land, said Hiram W. Thomas in his 1903 article. Dr. Thomas had founded the People's Church of Chicago in 1879 and built it into about a 2,000-member non-denominational church. I thought it was interesting. I always do a little side study. It was based on two principles, the People's Church of Chicago. No creed or dogma or associated with any religious group was allowed. Plus, all of the churches had to be built in a downtown theater. Now, that was interesting. It's real interesting if you follow the study of the People's Church today. It has shrunk from about 2,000 to about 150. And the dogma is anything goes. They don't even look at the Bible anymore, I don't think. But in any way, it was established there in Chicago in 1879 and always in the downtown theater. The People's Church of Chicago was located in the Mack Vickers Theater. Originally built in 1857, Mack Vickers Theater cost about $85,000 in $1850. And I did a number, and it's about $2.3 million today if we were to build it. Like all other Chicago structures in 1871, what happened? Chicago fire, right? So it burned to the ground. I should have put the pictures. I have some pictures of that, remains of the Chicago fire. The theater was rebuilt the next year, but it burned again in 1890. It was rebuilt a third time into the structure used for a theater and also the People's Church. And basically, the period of time that I'm talking about from here on is 1902 to 1903, when Dr. Drivers spoke at this church. If you can make it out, there's a sign there that says the Mack Vickers. It's right in the middle of the two buildings. Should have had my pointer. But it's right there. In fact, the tall building now, I understand, is a Target today. But it's right in that area. I mention this because in September of 1902, J.M. Driver was called to try out for the pulpit position there to follow Dr. Thomas, who was retiring. Mr. Driver's trial sermon was such a hit that they hired him on the spot. It's also an interesting side note that he has a Methodist background, and that if he accepted the position at the People's Church, he was expelled from the Methodist religion. So he couldn't do both of them. Nonetheless, he accepted the pulpit position there at the People's Church. His sermon on that day was titled, The Transfiguration. I'm still not sure what all was in that sermon, but I'm going to find it one day. Yet it was his personal story he told with tears in his eyes, which gained so many supporters. He said, if I did not believe that there is a hereafter, that there is hope in eternity, I know my heart would break. So great has been the tragedy in my own and my father's family. He then began to tell the story of a beautiful long mother, a young mother, giving birth to a baby boy in the days of the Civil War. How at one point made a sign of the cross upon the baby's brow. She then sanctified it with a kiss upon his lips, and how in less than an hour she had expired or died. We continue to search for her name. We think we know her name. We think it was Matilda. Her baby son would have been about 1.5 to 2 years old during this period of time. I must clarify something here. You know, the dates, what are the dates of the Civil War? Anybody remember? 1861, 1865, right? A lot of people consider the date of the war starting the time Lincoln was elected, 1859. Even more people think that for 10 years they were in the war anyway. It just wasn't declared. That's why he makes this statement during the Civil War. I just want to clear that up, but it was at that time. Dr. Driver continued his narrative. This preacher had been that boy or that baby. So you get the picture that his mother was dying when he was about 1.5 years old, sanctified him, threw some signs and kissing him, and then died. And he was that boy who then become the preacher and the songwriter, Dr. Driver. Dr. Driver continued his speech when he said, only my wife had been left to him by the stern hand of death. Two sons, two daughters have died within a few years. The last, a 16-year-old boy, laid down his life while following the flag in the Philippines. His 16-year-old boy was apparently fairly ill, but he wanted to go to the military. This country has fought so many wars. This was a war of early 1900s. There was a war with Spain over down in the Philippines, over the different countries down there. But anyhow, a 16-year-old boy went down there, and he succumbed to his illness and died while in the war. J.M. Driver went on to preach for the People's Church some 8 years. And then he became a popular speaker on a Chautauqua circuit. The Chautauqua circuit was an adult education religious inspiration message program starting around 1874 by the Methodists on Lake Chautauqua in New York. Fanny Crosby was also a speaker on this circuit. And you notice, they even in 1910, they made a stamp based on a Chautauqua circuit of the speakers going around. I have that book that's up on there on the left, on your left, defining all of the efforts and the things that went on with the Chautauqua circuit. Mr. Driver died suddenly at the age of 61, June the 7th, 1918, at his home in Chicago, actually on 1531 East 61st Street, very near the lake. But he is buried in his family plot in Linwood Cemetery, Fort Wayne, Indiana. His wife died about 1930, but she was still living in that home in Chicago. This brings me to the second question I'm often asked. What are you going to do when that building's complete? What I'm going to do is do my field research, starting with Fort Wayne, Indiana, and then add to the message that I have here. Maybe I can find some more. Maybe I can confirm what I have. But he's only one of about 10 that we're looking at. And so once that building's done, we'll see you for a while. Believing in the story of God's love will not prevent us from heartache, trouble, or sad times. But But our faith will sustain us until we reach our eternal home. What a wonderful story of love we have to share with the world. Let's sing the song.